so good to be in God's house again and to meet with all of you, God's people. There is one man on earth whose every movement and speech is watched and observed by the whole world. 4 months ago, he was given a letter, a message by the Pope, and I have been writing about this in our weekly for the last 3 weeks. Almost exactly 4 months ago, on July the 8th, the Pope gave to Mr. Obama an encyclical, a message, which ran to over 30,000 words, asking him to take note that the world needs a new world order, a new political authority to take the place of the United Nations organization. By implication, of course, he did not have to say abolish UN. But because UN has been so ineffective, and the whole world is reeling under the effect of the recent economic downturn, the Pope says we need an authority with teeth, in other words, with power to enforce what that authority thinks is good. Mr. Obama was attending the G8 meeting, which was, well, it happened to be held in Italy, and that is, of course, the Pope's home ground. So he took the opportunity to deliver this encyclical to Mr. Obama, and of course also the G8 members, which was attended by 39 heads of states from around the world. Dear friends, if you understand prophecy and signs of the times, this is one of it. The most powerful man in the world, as far as religion is concerned, is the Pope. Not BP churches. We are nothing. We're just a pinprick. But when he speaks, he carries the weight of 1,200 million members, plus another 500 million supporters among the Protestant churches. He has nearly 2 billion members backing him. Now, what does he say? We need a world political authority that is going to turn around this world from its present shaky position. Anytime a few people in the United States decide to play dirty and to swindle and to cheat, the whole world collapses. Can it be? No. It's about time to call a halt to this. Dear friends, read Revelation 13. Then you can see there are described there two world leaders, each one in his own right, the top of his grouping. One is religious, one is political. And 4 months ago, the religious leader told the political leader, let's do something. The Lord is coming. This is one of the signs. I have prepared this little tract, and I want you to please just follow me as I explain this tract to you. Firstly, that you understand what this tract is all about. And secondly, that because you care, someone may be invited to our meetings, to our church, and someone, because you care, may receive the gospel and find a welcome from the soon returning King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Judgment number one is passed. Please look at the first panel, the English side. Judgment number one has left behind a trace of it around the globe, wherever you go. When you pump your petrol the next time, remember that petrochemical came because of the flood. And God judged the world by the flood. Everyone died except eight in the ark of salvation. You know, the Chinese have an amazing language. The only ancient language that survives to this day with meaning in the words. No other language has got pictographic significant inventions of written characters that survive to this day. The word here shown at the bottom of this tract is chuan. Why is it that this word for boat talks of eight mouths in that craft? Why? If this will not convince you, what will? Dear friends, God judged the world and saved eight people in a boat. That is the evidence. And the Word of God tells us, Genesis chapter 6, 7 and 8, four times God says, I will destroy all flesh on earth that breathe. God's word is precise. All flesh that breathes, except those who believe the gospel preached by Noah at that time. So remember this word. This is the proof. Now, panel number two. What is passed is a guarantee, is a proof. The Lord who created everything and punished the wicked people of the earth with a great judgment is coming again. My dear friends, is this part of your daily agenda? Is it? You say, what agenda? The agenda that you remember every day when you wake up, is this the day God is going to send the Lord Jesus back to earth? To judge the earth, that should be your daily remembrance, top on the agenda every day. Panel number two. Because when He comes, He will restore the earth, but then there is judgment. And the judgment this time is not by water, but by fire. Again, the Chinese have got it right. The word for great disaster or great catastrophe is written here, the word Zai. Yes. Water on top, fire below. Water first, fire following. Are you ready? Dear friends, please consider. God so loved the world, He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who came, and shortly, next month, we are going to remember His coming at Christmas. To be born a babe, to live as a man, unknown, unsung, unwanted, rejected by His own, put to the cross, died to save you and me from our sins. And He is coming again. What must we do? Dear friends, this is not tonight's sermon, but this is just the introduction. To get you alerted, to know that we are saved to serve, saved for a purpose, not saved to sit and do nothing. Will there one day when you arrive in heaven, someone will come up to you and say, thank you, you ever invited me to a meeting at Calvary Pandan. Think of it. So this is for you. Panel number three, what must I do? Perchance there is someone here who has come to church maybe many times, but has never committed his life to the Lord and never accepted the Savior. Just say, it sounds good, but not for me. Consider, Jesus is returning, and He will come no longer as a baby, but as a judge. Are you ready for Him? So that is panel number 3. I say, I urge you, invite you, and plead with you, dear friends. Anyone who has not received Jesus Christ, make tonight your night of decision. For He who came once is returning. You say, how come? Simply because He rose from the dead, ascended to heaven, with the last message, I will come again. Even now from heaven He speaks to us out of the book of Revelation chapter 22 verse 12. He says, behold, I come quickly. Are you ready for Me? And My reward is with you. My judgment is coming on you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Now, finally, I ask you to do this. If you are a believer, pray, think. Is there someone in your house who is not a Christian? Is there a friend of yours who you can speak to and say, come and receive the Savior? Do this. This is your duty, privilege, and blessing to do. So take this tract home and don't just take it and throw it away or put it somewhere and forget about it. This is a tract of decision. It is a tract of blessing to you and possibly to someone else. Please, pray and act. 2 Timothy chapter 2, please turn there. And the theme for this evening is flee youthful lusts. What do we mean by this? You know, men, women are so concerned about their health, what to do, what not to do. If you can tell them convincingly, they will immediately buy your idea. That's why health food shops are doing a roaring business. Everybody wants to be healthy. Here is God's instruction for you. How to be a healthy Christian. 2 Timothy chapter 2. All the instructions given here, in order that you be a strong, healthy, effective Christian, useful to God, and a blessing to others. Verse 1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus Christ. Paul is writing. Do you ever thank God for Paul? I think we all ought constantly to thank God that He ever raised a man like Paul to write half of the New Testament, to write all those wonderful instructions. How to not to get sick spiritually? How not to be left behind spiritually? Also wonderful instructions. And here He says, be strong. He is concerned about your spiritual health. I have a younger sister, the late Elder Lim Kim Hee's wife is my younger sister. And she came to me one day, she says, you know, I found something very good called ImmunoCal. I said, I never heard of it. Maybe some of you have. She says, it's so good. It's made me so strong. I want to take it. I want you to take it. I said, not really. Like, what for? She said, no. She convinced me. Now she sent me, I am taking ImmunoCal every day. She said, you will feel so strong, so good, you'll live forever. Wow, wonderful. Now here it is. Paul is writing a letter to us. Don't be a half-sick Christian. All the time complaining, can't move, can't do anything, can't witness for the Lord, I'm useless. No, dear friends, you are falling to the trap of Satan. Paul the Apostle has good advice for all of us. Thou therefore, my son, in the Lord Jesus, be strong, because God has given us grace. Grace is what He has purchased for us on the cross, in order to enable us to do the will of God, to save us not just from punishment, but to make us strong. What's the use of having an army of soldiers all on crutches? That's what some Christians are. No use. No, dear friends. It is God's will that you are called to be a soldier and to be a strong, vibrant fighter for the Lord. That's the message opening for tonight. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus and the things that thou hast heard of me. Verse 2. Among many witnesses, these things I have told you straight from the lips of my Savior. He's told me, I'm telling you. Dear friends, do you know that every word that written in this book is authentic, infallible, inerrant, effective, powerful? Do you read it? Do you love it? Every time you read, please pray. Oh Lord, forgive me for any doubt about your word. Give me the faith to trust and to read with understanding, with acceptance, and happy to practice what your word tells me. Now, what does it say? The things you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And I said, this is the greatest commandment to us today. You know the truth? Don't keep it to yourself, but tell others. Commit to those you can trust. In the church, to the younger generation. In the home, to your children. This is our responsibility. And this is very urgent, because as this message unfolds tonight, you're going to see who are the people at risk. Your children, the young ones, at immense risk today. 10 times more than when I started the Sunday school in Prinsep Street. Those days were already perilous times. Now it's 10 times more perilous than those days. Why? We are going to hear about it. So Paul says, teach them, to the younger set. Tell them lovingly. Tell them again and again that they will not forget. Forget what? God's word. A lamp to our feet, a light to our path. The best prevention against apostasy, falling away, to become a casualty of Satan, coming around with crutches, cannot walk properly, crawling on the ground. Never be such a Christian. Verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We must learn to endure, to suffer a little inconvenience, to forego some pleasures and even times of rest. Why not? Because we are soldiers for the Lord, and our Lord demands and expects of you and me to be a strong soldier. As I said, what's the use of an army all on crutches? Half dead already. How to fight? Now, number 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. But the word affair, doesn't it strike a bell? People who commit adultery quietly say, oh, it's only an affair. Here it is. Paul says, you are a soldier in the army of Jesus Christ. You've got no business to be tangled and entangled, to be involved in these affairs of the world. Those things that do you harm to your spiritual life. You should never have anything to do with them. But everything is around us, enticing, seducing, attracting. Wait till the IRs come up. They say, one, not enough, two, and everybody is going to flock to it. Are you? Have you made up your mind what you're going to do with it? As a soldier of Jesus Christ, we stand where we stand with the Lord Jesus, because those things are not for any Christian to be involved in. Consider how you may please Him who hath chosen you to be a soldier. Oh, dear friends, to be in the army of the King is the best thing you can do, you can be. And to be with Him, fighting His battles, standing with Him until the day He comes again. Could it be tonight? Ask yourself. As I said, Revelation 13 is in fulfilled in front of your eyes. The number one man on the religious front has already given the note of 30,000 words to the number one man in the political front and say, let's get going, do a new world order. The Lord is coming. Now on to verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands assured, because there are some who laugh and scoff at all these Christian doctrines, Christian message of salvation. What gospel are you talking about? Jesus Christ died for us? No, we can look after ourselves. Why do we need anyone to die for us? And then, oh, he resurrected. How come? We never seen that happen. And what has never happened can never happen. People do not believe. Even the churches do not believe. You know what the churches in America do? Let's vote. Christians vote. How many believe Jesus Christ rose from the dead? Tick here. Those who don't believe, tick here. And majority today do not believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Verse 19. Nevertheless, in spite of people who oppose it in the church, outside of the church, people who make fun of Jesus Christ's superstar, or the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, also made into a film to make money. But those people do not believe Jesus Christ died for their sins, that Jesus Christ is returning to be judge of all the earth. What do you say to that? Paul says, nevertheless, whether they believe or don't believe, whether they poo-poo and scoff at the idea that Jesus Christ rose from the dead for you and me, they say, nevertheless, the foundation of Jesus Christ, that He is King of Kings, the Son of God, who came, who died for you and for me, who rose from the dead, who ascended to heaven, is coming again. You can say what you like. You can say you don't believe. If everybody on earth says, I don't believe, it still doesn't make any difference to the fact that Jesus Christ is coming again. Do you know that? So that's why I say, you don't throw this away, please. Think of it, pray through it, go and be a messenger for the Lord Jesus. And one day somebody in heaven will come up to you and say, thank you, you ever gave me that tract, I came. Now, verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. His resurrection is rock firm. Do you know that? Do you act on it? No. Continue to read. The Lord knows them that are His. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Don't be a hypocrite. The thing about churches that people don't like is they say one thing, they do another thing. They preach one thing, they live another way of life. How can it be? So, Paul says the Lord knows you. Don't be a humbug. Don't be a pretender. Live a genuine life for you, for Him. If you're a Christian, live as a Christian. You cannot play a double game. I say this very earnestly, sincerely, humbly to everyone here. Are you living the life that your Savior expects you to live? Continue to read, and let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So live as a Christian as it should be. How? As my Savior lived, with His commandments always in view, that I am a child of God. These commandments are for my protection, for my witness that I follow every day. To do as my Lord commands me to do, I will do. Happily. Are you? Verse 20, but in the great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver. Yes. Some are honorable. They are Christians and they live as much as their understanding and the giving of the power, ability from God. They live the life that God wants them to live. They are gold and silver. But But there are also wood and earth and rubbish and clay, and some to honor, some to dishonor. What kind of a vessel are you for the Lord? Is your life honorable to God, that God can be proud of you? Please examine yourself. Verse 21, if a man purge himself of from all these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. That is, you love the word of God. You keep the commandments of God. If you infringe on it, you are immediately aware of it and sorry for it. And you pray for the Lord to cleanse you and to rectify you, restore you again, that you may be a vessel to honor, that other people seeing will say he is a good Christian. We can understand that. So, be meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. But flee youthful lusts. Now this is actually the theme of our night's message. Flee youthful lusts. Do you understand what this means? There are two major newspapers in town. Straits Times, New Paper. If you want to understand very quickly what the youthful lusts, you read New Paper every day. And it's all there. All the filth and the kind of evil living, according to the flesh, according to the lust of the eyes, and the lust of life, and the lust of the flesh, is all there. We live in the IT era. I asked a friend as I came into church just now, what does your son study? IT. I said, almost everyone is studying IT. Information technology. Information. Do you know that the internet came to Singapore only about 20 years ago? Before that, nothing. Even computers are not that old. Very recent. When I started my clinic, about 1970 plus, I had an appeal from my old school, ACS. Will you now, as they said, they didn't say, but implied, since you are a prosperous practitioner, how about helping your old school with a computer? Wow, I learned then that ACS did not have a computer. They were only concentrated in one school in Singapore called the Monk's Hill School. That was called the Computer Center. Did you know that? I didn't know until they told me. I said, of course, my old school needs a computer. We'll give them a computer. So ACS became the first school other than Monk's Hill to have a computer. Now my driver's son has a computer. Everyone has a computer. Everybody cannot live without a computer. We are into the internet era. Internet generation. Everybody talks about internet. Because there is information. At the press of button, everything is there. Good information, very good. But there is no good information, also not very good. All in there. Now, dear friends, what am I driving at? In America, sociologists are very worried. Children say they are studying. How come they are so hardworking nowadays with that little machine? Locked up in the room. Don't go to bed until 2 or 3 a.m. What kind of information are they getting? Now, the theme of our message that I wish to drive home to you is in verse 22, flee youthful lusts. What are these youthful lusts all about? Information about things they ought not to be interested in. How come a 10-year-old, an 8-year-old, 12-year-old, boy and girl, all studying until 2 a.m. at night? For information. Straits Times had an article, and it says, nowadays, if a girl of 12 is still a virgin, it is understandable. But by 15, if they are still virgins, they are counted as unpopular. Don't know what is going on. Nobody wants them. This is what the Straits Times tells us. And some girls at 12 are already married twice and divorced already. What's all this? I can't understand it. But we Christians are living in that age today. Very different from 40, 50 years ago when we began our Sunday school and our church. Now, dear friends, does this ring a bell to you? If our gospel does not touch our children and cause them to understand to be a Christian, to be saved, is something so precious and valuable that they cannot risk to have it tarnished or have it wrecked and, shipwrecked. And yet it is happening all the time. You read newspaper, it is there, you go into the... Now, by the way, I do not know what happens on the internet. I don't have a computer. I don't use computer. But I do believe that this net is a great and vast and wicked and evil net. As though it is a spider's web spun by an invisible spider called Satan. And these nets are there to trap the unwary, those people who do not know the perils of the internet. They go in and they are caught. Flee youthful lust, dear friends. How can we do it? Do you know what is the remedy? Oh, my friends, I say, other than knowing God's will and resolving to do it, there is no way out. I read to you the testimony of an old Christian. I suppose you have guessed it, it's my grandfather. He says this. Listen, grandfather stories are quite useful. He says, I was brought up in a very evil environment in my own family. They're all idol worshippers. And then when I was 19, having tasted all the evils of idolatry and what goes with it, I was brought to the gospel meeting. And there I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was immediately converted, saved by the power of God's word. To know that I'm a sinner, lost and undone, and face only the judgment and the wrath of God, I repented. 19 years old. From that day, he says, I never turn back. And I believe that I must daily fight the sin and conquer it every day, on an everyday basis. I say, Amen. That is the key to this verse of flee youthful lusts. If you think that, well, I accepted Jesus last year, very good. I took the Holy Communion the last week. Even better. I feel so good. Now I'm on my way to heaven. I couldn't care less how I live. Not bothered. How wrong you are, dear friend. Listen to this. Grandfather says, I knew the sin in me is ever alive. Always trying to get up like a cobra that's head is coming to hit you. So I resolve that I will fight and conquer sin every day of my life. Every day I will promise the Lord, I will resist sin. I will conquer sin with your help, obeying your word. Let me be victorious over sin every day. Again, I've told this story. I repeat it so that you never forget. Lady members of the church come to him for counseling. Maybe something in the home, maybe a private business. Then I observe, grandfather talks to the lady looking down on the ground. I said, grandfather, after the lady is gone, why don't you look at the woman? Why do you look at the ground? He says, grandson, you don't understand now. When you grow up, then you understand why I do this. Don't look at women. It's very tempting to look, and then ideas, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh will come into your heart, into your thinking. And when I grew up, I understood. Do you understand? Lust of the flesh. The flesh in you is never dead. As Paul says, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I do. Because there is still the flesh always trying to come up and cause you to stumble and to sin. So Straits Times says, we had an analysis. Who are the people who fall to these lusts of the flesh? Who are they? All kinds of people, all kinds of ages. And what struck me was this. He says, you know, one man over 90 years also in that category, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, caught him. He was still active. Lust of the flesh. Oh, dear friends, Satan doesn't leave us alone. Satan is around us, everywhere. As Peter says, he's a roaring lion, walking about seeking victims. Don't be a victim, dear friends. Don't. Because it does not do you any good at all. Don't say, now I'm far away from home. Let me do as I like. I'm in Bangkok. Well, who knows? I say, if that is your thinking, you are succumbing to the temptation of the lust of the flesh. Be wise. Our God is so loving and caring, and He sends us apostles to write all these warnings. But you must read, and that you must love it, and then you must submit to it. How shall we end tonight's talk? I said, dear friends, I can't live your life. You've got to live your life yourself. I can't protect you. You must get protection yourself. How can you protect yourself? Please turn with me to Psalms, a wonderful psalm in Psalm 119, 119, verse 9. And then I suggest we all read together verse 9 to verse 16. And that will give you the solution to the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. As the Apostle John says, love not the world. Don't love the world. Don't put your affection on the world. And where is the world? The world is everywhere around you. You go to the seafront and see all those high-rise things, all those houses of pleasure, houses of sin, all there. Beware. What is your protection? Psalm 119, verse 9. Are you ready to read with me, 9 to 16? Psalm 119, please. Verse 9 to 16. We all read it together. Ready? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Amen. Read this again. But no use just reading, but pray. Please pray earnestly. If need be, with tears of repentance, with tears of appreciation. Lord, please make these words my motto, my watchword. And I promise you, I will fight and conquer sin every day, on an everyday basis. I promise you, Lord. If you dare to promise Him, and promise the Lord earnestly, sincerely, honestly, and ask Him to help you, every morning don't go out until you promise the Lord, say, I will not go out today until I promise you. and I will return home victorious, having conquered the evil one in spite of any temptation that comes my way. I will not yield, I promise you. There is no other way. You got to deal with the Lord direct, between you and the Lord, and say, Lord, you have sent your son to die for me. I promise you, I will not dishonor him by yielding to the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh. No other way. Only one way. You got to do it. Pray God to give you the strength. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, teach us the lesson of obedience and submission to your holy word, for you have given us the formula, the words we must adhere to, honor, and to obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust Him and to obey Him. Bless your people here tonight, that some who are caught in the webs of sin, with the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, will come to Thee tonight and say, Lord, cleanse me, and use me, and strengthen me. I promise you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.